And if this is that thing that is camouflaging as a spirit but is really a soul, it would attack the United States from the Northwest. And where are all these things landing? Yeah. And then moving in that attack in this way across us. And here's the thing now, and here's what I want to watch carefully. I'm not saying that these soulish things are wrong, but when they camouflage as spirit, they are absolutely wrong. They are absolutely wrong. It's one of the worst things that can happen to us is to ascribe spirit power to soul power. It just messes everything up. And so, let's see, you get Psychology Today and all that kind of stuff. You've been reading some articles in those magazines, and you're a little familiar with all this, and the Alpha stuff, and all this. And what we're doing right now is saying that this is all true, and it's genuine. But to mix it, to get it, get your soul and spirit mixed up is as bad as getting your literal and spiritual mixed up. And 2,000 years ago, the church got its literal and spiritual mixed up, and Jesus came in the spirit, and they were expecting the literal. And the body of Christ is going to have the same kind of problem right now in soul power and spirit power. If you find what I'm getting at. So there are societies developed at this time to study psychic power, psychic phenomena. And because it is oriental, we call it the cult, and it scares us to death. But you know something? You're not going to be perfect until you can understand and master spirit, soul, and body. And you're not going to have it all put together yet until you can understand all these soul powers that are coming to us from California right now, and it's occult realm. But only the body of Christ, those who have the Holy Spirit, will be able to tell the difference between the soul and the spirit. Now, am I making sense to anybody here? Do you see what I'm driving at? Now, the next thing is, you're going to say to me, shall we participate in soulish experiments? Shall we participate in soul power? Absolutely, the Bible pattern is yes. But you're going to know the difference between soul and spirit. You're going to see the difference. And somebody says, well, I don't like the idea of participating in soulish power. If you don't like the idea of participating in soulish power, please close your eyes and stop your ears. Because that's soulish. That's just one realm of soulish. But there are a lot of others as well, the psyche. So what I'm trying to get at here is this difference in the psyche and the spirit, and say that this is just as important to see that kind of difference as it is the difference between symbolic, spiritual, and literal. Not throw any of it out. Study it. Find its difference. But the only people who can really get their finger on the pulse of the whole thing are the people who have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I'll tell you why. Once you start studying meditation, how many know, what's that guy on television that had the funny-looking guy where you're giving flowers? Merv Griffin show. Did you see, did anybody see that or know anything about it? And then there's this little guy that wears a bed sheet. Guru or something like this, you know. And they hand him flowers. Have you seen that? How many know this is being a big thing right now? Meditation. Meditation and all that kind of stuff. Let me talk to you about that for just a minute. All these things are genuine. They really have power. Meditation. Go to alpha state. When I say alpha, do you know what I'm talking about? Going into a different state where your mind is operating differently than it is at the moment. This is all true. It's genuine. But when you go into these states of meditation, I have to tell you something that Jesus told us. The Bible is full of it. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he say it?
Meditate.
So don't you say there's something wrong with meditation. You haven't read the first Psalm. Day and night. He meditates day and night on the law of the Lord. Now, why is this important? Because when we meditate on a flower, or our navel, or, you know, whatever they tell us to meditate on, you know, in the what I'll call the Oriental or call realms, it's true you come into a power, but listen here carefully. When your mind goes to Alpha, then it is automatic that it must be taken over by the Spirit. But which Spirit? There are two kinds. There's the good and the bad. We call the holy and the evil in the Bible. The occult realms teach a technique to open the mind to the Spirit. But this is exactly what the Bible teaches, meditating. The Bible teaches you to do that, open your mind to the leading of the Spirit. But the only people that are safe in opening the mind to the leading of the Spirit are those who already have had an experience with the Holy Spirit. So that the Holy Spirit can then come in and lead the mind. And I'm absolutely convinced that those who ask God for bread just don't get stones. And when you ask God for eggs, you don't get serpents. It just doesn't work that way. For those who have had these experiences with God and the Holy Spirit can then open their mind to the spirit world. But the occult, or, you know, when I say occult, technically we are a cult, and I'll let that go. But that realm, which is, that's true, We're a cult and we're mystics. But in this realm, when you open yourself to a spirit world without the leadership of the Holy Spirit, without having had first Jesus in the heart, Holy Spirit in the head, isn't that what he said? I'll bring all things to your memories. Everything he ever worked on was the soul. Wasn't that the psyche? That's what we're talking about. You put the psyche in the realm where the Spirit can work on it. Now, those guys have learned for 2,000 years, because they didn't have the Spirit, all they had was the soul. So the whole religious experience is a mind blower. Come on now, isn't that what it all it is? It's all mind-oriented, soul-oriented. And they're experts, far better than we are, at coming into these meditations and things like that, even though our Bible tells us to do it. We're scared of it. Come on now, how many have been scared to meditate? Tell the truth. Bible told you to. But not meditate on your navel. You don't meditate on this, what they call that thing in the flower. You meditate on the law of the Lord, where the Holy Spirit, the Bible, the truth, the Word, the God can operate on you. And then those thoughts, oh, by the way, thoughts are spirits. Spirits are thoughts. But those thoughts can come in and operate on your mind, and you'll be better off for it. But if you follow the guru plan without the Holy Spirit, then you have been attacked by Gog and Magog from the northwest, and they dropped one of their bombs on you, and you're going to start for harm the same way. Am I making sense to anybody here? Have you heard me carefully? I did not deny the fact that this is a true power. And I also said the Bible says to seek it. Use it. But it gives us steps in order to enter it. And the steps are, first, Jesus in the heart, then the Holy Ghost in the head. Romans chapter 5, last verse says, strong meat belongeth to them who by reason of use have their senses exercised. See that? Are their senses exercised that they might determine or know good from evil? So in this realm, I wouldn't be teaching this kind of a lesson in a church. because this is a steakhouse here tonight. Any bar is serving steak. I hope it's being prepared to your taste, but it's strong meat. And you don't teach this kind of stuff to people who are on milk. You don't talk about meditation to people who are on milk. It'll cause them to regurgitate. Come on now, you don't use that word in church, even though it's biblical. Come on, shake your head. Because the church is not a place for strong meat. It's a place for lambs and sheep and babes. And so you don't talk that way. That's why you've got to get outside that to get this kind of stuff. Now, I'm not finding fault with church. I'm saying it's a good place to get a nice warm bottle. But you don't get steaks in that kind of environment, or at least... Now, of course, there are exceptions, of course, and there are churches, you know, dedicated to steakhouse philosophy. But generally speaking, it doesn't work that way. It won't fit. That's why you have to come out to funny meetings and strange places. I've tried to show several things tonight that we're going to have to be able to grab a hold of that which is true and let go of some old things. When we let go of some of these things, we may discover that we're letting go of some of our own interpretations, whether it be literal, symbolic, or spiritual. As an example of this kind of a letting go, I like to explain it this way. Jesus said to his disciples, who do these people say that I am? Well, some Elias, some of this, some of that, yeah, but how about you guys now? Who do you say that I am? There was silence, and good old Peter. I like Pete. Yeah, I kind of identify with Pete. He's always getting his foot in his mouth. But he stood up and said, Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, now wait, Pete. Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you. Now, what's he talking about? Literal, symbolic, or spiritual? Flesh and blood. Literal. You didn't get this literally. But my Father, which is in... You're talking a spiritual lesson right now. And Peter, though your name is Little Stone, I'm going to make you Peter now. And upon this rock will I build my church. Well, the first interpretation of that scripture was by the Catholics. And how did they interpret it? Literally, symbolically, or spiritually? Literally. Upon this rock. What rock? He had just said it's not a literal lesson, it wasn't. Flesh and blood, so that shows us a little bit there. Maybe there's some weakness in... But I'll tell you, I liked it because it began to make sense, because I personally believe in apostolic succession. I don't know whether you caught that or not, but I believe in the laying on of hands and apostolic succession. I can follow the Catholic idea on that. Though I'm not a Roman Catholic, I'm still a Catholic. Some can grab... you know... see, Catholic, to be Catholic means you're a member of the universal church. I am not Roman Catholic because I don't take my orders from Rome. I'm Catholic. Well, anyway, so the literal interpretation made sense, and then the evangelicals came along and they applied a symbolic interpretation and said, no, that's not what it means. It's not literal, it's symbolic. It's the confession of faith, thou art the Christ. That's what it's being built on. That makes sense too, doesn't it? I can follow the Catholics and I can follow the evangelicals. There's a symbolic interpretation. Then all of a sudden one day, I saw another way to interpret the same scripture. And it's not literal and it's not symbolic. but my Father, which is in... What did he do? He, what was that next word?
Revealed.
Continuous revelation from the Father in heaven is a spiritual way to interpret the same thing. Now, at the moment, I tend to embrace the spiritual interpretation more than the literal or the symbolic. And I believe that the thing upon which the church is now being built is continuous revelation. Continuous. You see, if you believe in continuous revelation, then you believe not only did God speak then, but he's speaking now. And God is continuing to show what it's all about. Though Peter was the foundation stone, Peter said, we are lively stones built on the same house. So then you could get a continuous revelation, and you could have a continuous revelation. We could all have a continuous revelation from God and be just as important to the totality of the house as Peter was one of the foundation stones. I think it's, we'll all serve an extremely important part in the total of this house. Continuous revelation of God. So now you have the opportunity of going back and looking at some of your scriptures, and some that I've looked at. You might interpret some and say that's Rome. But the way I'm looking at it now, it's Jerusalem. You might look at some and say that's a literal battle on the edge of the Mediterranean. I wouldn't argue with that either. But I'm looking at it as a spiritual battle in the United States of America. You see what I'm driving at? On and on it goes. You can take any of these ways you want, and I'm not going to try to smart off and say I'm right and you're wrong. Can't help it if I'm right. But I do believe that we're going to have to grow up and allow each other the wide range that we need to interpret literally, symbolic, and spiritually. And not be adamant on any of our past ways of seeing things, but be gentle with each other. It may be that some of the folks are changing their mind here tonight about some of their ideas. Let's be gentle. It's a very sensitive time. It's a hard time when you're letting go of one and embracing something else. It's difficult. Change your mind. Some of us were raised and brought up with the idea that to change your mind is a sign of weakness. To me, to change your mind is a sign of strength. I can take it or leave it, but that's the way I feel about it, especially in these realms. I'm not talking about to be blown by every wind and doctrine, you understand that. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. But I'm talking about to carefully and studiedly change your mind. So if you've still got to have Babylon in Rome, and if the Protestants are still mad at the Catholics about it, then go ahead and help yourself, and I'm not trying to pull the rug out from under you, but I'm definitely trying to show you why I changed my mind. I'm not the same. I don't see it that way anymore. Neither do I see it as a symbolic Babylon for a being a symbol for a city, a literal city, but I see it in a spiritual realm. The spirit of rejecting Christ in any attribute. And on it goes. We've tried to show so many of these changes. Spirit, soul, body, spiritual, literal, and symbolic interpretations. If the Battle of Armageddon is literal, then on the edge of the Mediterranean, by Haifa, as the Valley of Jezreel goes down to the, that's Jezreel, not Jehoshaphat, goes down to the Lake of Galilee, there'll be blood spilt. If it's symbolic, then we will find an attack from the United States of America, including Canada, from the Northwest. And it's the same guys that are attacking. One case literally, one case symbolically or spiritually. And you can take your pick. I'm thinking that I'm talking to some people here tonight who are going to be alive and remain to see these things. I believe that I'm talking to people here tonight that are going to be here at the coming of the Christ. I'm talking to some people here tonight who will not die but be alive. But I'm talking to some people here tonight who are going to change a lot between the way we are and the way we're going to be or the way we ought to be. So therefore, I want to pray for you right now. Genuinely pray for you, and I'm going to ask you to genuinely agree with me for the changes that are necessary in your spirit and your soul and your body so that you can be alive and remain to the coming of Christ and see these things happening, either literally, symbolically, or spiritually. We'll not be so adamant as to hold it down as to exactly the way it is, but we'll be wide enough to allow maybe even it being fulfilled all three ways. Would you stand with me while we pray? Our Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for eyes that see and ears that hear. We ask for spiritual eyes. We ask for spiritual ears. We ask that, Lord, in the Spirit, with spiritual eyes, we'll see spiritual truths, and that this will be a great blessing to us for having been here tonight. We pray, Lord, that this will not be a curse or a waste of anyone's time, but it'll be a blessing. It'll be an opening, a seeing of things that have been revealed, and an opening so that things will be better off in the future. We pray for spiritual ears. We ask, Lord, you take the stoppers out of our ears so that we can hear spiritual words, spiritual truths that come through our ears. We ask, Lord, as we look into these words tonight in the Bible, and it makes such sense to us that changes will take place. We ask for the mind of Christ. Lord, we thank you for the way things are, but we thank you, Lord, for the way things are going to be. Now, Lord, we do ask for the mind of Christ. We want to take off the old mind, the carnal mind, and put on the mind of Christ. We ask that this will be on operation in each one of us. Transform us in the body by the renewing of the mind. Change us, Lord, from what we are to what we ought to be. Now, Lord, we agree together that nobody here will get out of here the way they came in. Nobody will go out the door the way we came in, but we will be more like Christ. We pray, Lord, that every spirit here will have been opened to Jesus Christ and his claims upon the spirit life. We pray that every soul will be open to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit can do with each mind when it's receiving the engrafted word. And we ask, Lord, that every body, every spirit and every soul and every body shall be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Praise God.
For a free catalog of Bible teaching cassettes and books, send your name and address with zip code to David Ebaugh Bible School, 102 Park Terrace, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17111.